Remain standing with me as we read our scripture for today. It comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. It says this, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." You can be seated. Well, thank you all for being with us today. My name is Drew Causey. For those I don't know, I was here on staff at Hope for 11 years. I left about 8 years ago. I'm now currently serving as a missionary to Northeast Ohio. I'm a pastor of a church called Orchard Hill Church. Long, fun story with that, but I also work with a network of churches called River Tree, where I oversee pastors' health. I help build discipleship systems and really help the church try to live and thrive on mission. And so it's really good to be here. This is like home for us. And so just some updates. Catherine was around a little bit before the service. They had to take off. But we've got three boys, Landon and Hunter and Amos. They're all much larger than last time we were here. They're doing well. Catherine and I are doing great. We're actually expecting a fourth, which is exciting. We have a baby girl coming in June, and so Catherine has already noticed that I'm ruined for that. But things are really good for us in Ohio, and it's really good to be here with you today, especially as we end the year together here at Hope. I don't know about you, but the end of the year for me is always a time of reflection. It's always one of those things where I want to try to go through and kind of comb through my year and think about not only like what's happened, but like where I've seen God at work in life. And I try to be a disciple maker in all the settings that I'm in. And so a lot of our conversation today is really going to be pushing you to think about what it means to follow Jesus in 2025. But I want to start in 2024 because lots of times we don't know where we need to go because we haven't stopped to and kind of assess where we are. To kind of get and notice, like a lot of good growth just really starts with us assessing ourselves and recognizing what's been happening in our own life. And so I want to start with a simple question. In what ways did you see growth in 2024? I mean, some of you in this room, it might be that you found Jesus this year. Like, you're like, I grew because I gave my life to Jesus, that I was lost and now I'm found. Hallelujah. 2024 was an incredible transformation for you. It could be, as you look over the year, you can see some experiences you've had for good or for ill, but that have shaped you this year and kind of led you to be where you are. It could be that maybe there are some things that you did, some habits that you picked up, or some things that kind of transformed, where you're like, when I look at myself in December in 23, and I look at myself now, like I'm a different person because I did these things. Like I was intentional about growing in certain areas of my life. Whatever it is, it's really healthy for us to stop and assess where we are. And I want to give you actually a really simple tool that that I use and we use at my church to kind of help people assess the kind of growth that's happening in their life. And we kind of talk about it in three directions. We say good growth happens in three directions because when you look at the life of Jesus, you see three areas of relationship that were critical for Jesus. There was his upward relationship with his Father. There was his inward relationship with like the community of faith around him. And then there was the outward relationships of Jesus like on mission. Everywhere you read through scripture, you see all three of these things happening. So think about it like this. Good growth is gonna be upward. That's you like being with Jesus. If you're gonna grow, it's gonna be primarily because you've got this upward connection with Jesus that's helping you grow. You're also gonna grow in an inward way. You're like, you are meant to grow in community with other people. Like you are part of the body of Christ. You don't get to follow Jesus by yourself. We're not built that way. And so that should be a way that you measure growth in your life. And the third thing, outward, is the way that you're living on mission. You're living into God's purposes and his plan, taking up what he has put you on this earth to do, where you live and work and learn and play. So lots of times we'll draw a triangle like this as just like a simple, like you could do it, sit down with a napkin and draw it out. A simple way of saying, hey, let's talk about growth and really assess what's happening in my life right now. What's happening? What have I seen in 2024 as far as like my upward growth with Jesus, my inward growth in community with other believers, my outward growth on mission with Jesus to the world? And lots of times what I'll tell people is I want you to do two things. I want you to write a number down, just like a 1 to 10, 1 being like, didn't grow at all, 10 being like, I'm the most growing and anywhere in between. And then I also say, I want you to write down a number for each one of those, one for up, one for in, one for out. And then I want you to think about like the trend. Is it trending upward? Is it trending downward? Is it steady? But this is a simple exercise that you can take with you as you're kind of ending your year to start to get a picture of like, what has been happening in me this year? And where am I right now? Because I'll tell you this, your next steps are starting from where you are. If you don't know where you are, you can't know how your next steps need to be shaped. So it's good for us to stop and assess this. But this is important. Paul, in this letter to the church at Philippi, earlier in chapter 1, he says that he prays that God would continue the work that he started in people until the day that Christ returns. He says there's something that God has begun that's not finished yet, and he picks up that theme after walking through this beautiful passage about Christ. He says, my friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This idea that there's a work that God has already started in you that needs to keep going, that's the theme that you want to pick up today to go where we're going in this time. Is that God has started something in you. Amen? Man, that's the grace of God, that you have a story with Jesus is the grace of God. But what's incredible sometimes is we don't recognize that the story is not over, that the story is just beginning, that we are in a process where the salvation that we've been given, it's working its way out into every facet of our life. Like when we talk about Jesus being Lord, it means that every part of you as a human is meant to be a place where the reign and the king of Jesus, like the kingship of Jesus is seen in those places. And guess what? Just because you're saved doesn't mean that work has worked its way through everything. Like I remember when I got saved, I still thought like a lost person in a lot of ways. And I walked with Jesus for a long time and I thought I had a lot of things figured out. And then it's like the lights come on sometimes. You go through things and you're like, oh man, I thought I was maturing. I've got all this growth to do. It's because until the day Christ returns, there's still work happening in you that you're called to embrace and be intentional about. Amen. And the worst thing that we can be as a church is a church that's not intentional about growing and continuing to work out what Jesus has already begun in us. We don't want this thing that started but not finished. We want it to keep going in our lives. Working it out implies that there's still work to be done. And so as you assess where you are, I want to encourage you, if you're like, oh man, if I were to write down a number around that picture, up, in, and out, if I were to write down a 2, guess what? Everyone's been a 2, and God's not done yet. Hallelujah. So whether your number is a 10 or a 1 or anything in between, the number doesn't matter. The trajectory of where you want to go with that is what matters in this conversation. That we don't want to stay where we are because the work's not done. We have the working out of salvation that we want to continue in this year. So in what ways are you planning for growth in 2025? I use that word planning on purpose. I heard someone say once that hope is not a plan, and that's not a shot at this church. But hoping for growth and planning for growth are two very different things. And any of you who've gained a skill in any area of life, you probably can recognize that once you determine and you start your plan, things get worse before they get better, right? You become aware of how much growth you need to happen, and you have to choose to keep going. So as we're going today, as we're talking about these things, I want to put you on notice that some of what we talk about is going to create a little bit of despair in you. And that's not the Holy Spirit. But it is you awakened to the fact that in order to grow, you're going to have to change. Amen. And it's easier not to. It's easier not to. It'd be easier for you to be in the same place you are next year as you are right now. But you wouldn't see what God has intended for you or your world if that happened. And so we have to choose the future we want to run into. And we can't just hope for it. We have to start planning for it. So today, I want to offer you, and I really want you to think back to this triangle. Think about these three things and say, okay, if I was going to pick one of these to say, God, if you're doing anything in me right now, which one of these do you probably need to start with in 2025? I want to give you a little bit of challenge in each one of these so that you know If you're going to work out your salvation in 2025, you're going to say, I am where I am, but I'm going to run for it. I want to see good growth in my life, intentional growth. And these are the things you need to anticipate. First, if upward growth is what you're longing for, if you're like, man, I need to grow just in that deep, abiding connectedness with Jesus. I need that this year. You need to know this. Working out your salvation means being intentional with your habits. Being intentional with your habits. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul tells the church in Corinth, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we, an imperishable one. So I don't run like one who runs aimlessly. I don't box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul brings this runner image in. I can resonate with it. I've got a freshman in high school, Landon. One of the things that he accomplished in 2024 is he became a cross-country runner. And I say this like, he ran cross-country in middle school. He became a runner this year. And that didn't happen because his desire shifted. It happened because he started running. Like this summer, he started putting in 2, 3, 4 miles a day, every day. He went to a cross-country camp. I didn't know that was a thing, but I know if that was a thing, I would never choose that. They go, they run, they take a break, they eat, they run, they take a break, they run, they eat, they go to sleep, they repeat it for 5 days. That's my nightmare. But what he does is he shaves 2 minutes off of his best time immediately when the season starts. And he starts running and he letters and he's like the freshman of the year and the most improved runner and all this different kind of stuff. And like, I'm so proud of him, but it was because he didn't just want to get better. He built the habit of running into his life and the habit did the work. You need to know that if you want to grow in your upward relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to build habits into your life that get you there. And the habits are not hard to guess. If you've been around church, and you're like, what'll help me grow with my relationship with Jesus? Scripture? Yeah. Prayer? Yeah. Solitude? Yeah. Fasting? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some of you are like, oh, we're not going that far. Don't mess with my food schedule. But you need to know this. You're going to have to build habits. I was reading a study the other day where they were studying people who picked up the habit of reading Scripture. And they said that if you read one Scripture one time a week, it has very little effect. Twice a week, very little effect. Three times a week, the needle starts to move. But they said when you study people who read Scripture four times a week, the change is unbelievable. Statistically, they said people abusing substances went down 57% reading Scripture four times a week. Being promiscuous in their relationships went down 68%. Connection to pornography went down 61%. Gambling went down 74%. Not only this, listen to this. Sharing faith with others went up 228%. Discipling other people went up 231%. With Scripture memory, it went even higher. Like people who were memorizing Scripture, all of their things exploded over 400%. Like, it's an unbelievable thing that this habit shapes you. And I got to tell you, there's a learning curve to learning Scripture and learning to pray. And especially those of you who are young in your faith, you need to know you're going to feel the dip of despair before you really start to see growth happening. But nothing is going to transform you more than building habits to cling to Jesus. Yes. And if you're like, hey, I feel like I'm a 2 and I would love to at least get to a 3. If it doesn't hit your habits, it's not going to hit your life. And you need to know 2025 might be the year where you need to say, my habits need to change. My calendar is going to have to change. The way I wake up and go to bed, the way I use my time and my energy and my resources to prioritize the growth I want to see, you're going to have to plan for it. But outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, it's your habits that are going to make or break growth in that area. When you look at inward growth, maybe that's the part, is you're thinking, like, man, you know what would help me grow the most is if I like didn't feel like I was doing this by myself. Like, I feel like me and Jesus are fine, but like, I'm not built to just be me and Jesus. And that's true. We have to really relearn that in America, that Jesus, if me and Jesus, like a private relationship that doesn't touch anything else, is just a lie. That you were built as a part of the body of Christ to be interconnected in relationships with people. And that some of the growth you want in your life can't happen if you don't have people around you walking in the same direction. Like, it's God's design that you can only get so far by yourself. And he gives you the gift of his Spirit, but he also gives you the gift of the body around you. And that has to be something that you build into your life. And so with this inward growth, working out your salvation is going to be being intentionally known, warts and all, by other people. In James chapter 5, he tells the church, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. That idea of one another is a key part of how we read Scripture. Like, you read through Scripture, you can chase the one another's, the way that we are designed to live an interconnected life. And what's crazy about living a life where you are known by other people and you know other people is it actually puts you in a vulnerable place that most of us don't like. Like, if you really love someone and live in relationship with them, they're going to see the worst of you, not just the best. If you have any question about that, ask someone who got married. I laughed about this. I didn't know what a jerk I was, so I married Catherine. And it's not because she tells me I'm a jerk, although she has at times, because I have been. Intimacy puts a mirror in front of you where you will see things in yourself that you couldn't see any other way. Like, you need relationships around you where people have permission to call you towards Christ, even in the ways that hurt or are ugly or out of place. This is why that inward thing, we talk about this becoming like Jesus. You become like Jesus in community with other people. And I gotta tell you, some of the biggest roadblocks we have to growth are the places where we won't risk being known because of what will have to come to light if we are. Kurt Thompson says this, to be known is to be pursued, examined, and shaken. To be known is to be loved and to have hopes and even demands placed on you. It's to risk not only the furniture in your home being rearranged, but your floor plans being rewritten, your walls being demolished and reconstructed. To be known means that you allow your shame and guilt to be exposed in order for them to be healed. This is what James is saying when he says that you confess your sins and you pray for each other so that you can be healed. There's a part of living in the light with other people that you need. And for those of you who are like, you know what? I feel like that's the thing I need the most is people to run next to you. You need to brace yourself for having to be more vulnerable than you want in order to grow in the way you desire. And you have to find a handful of people that you trust so that you can entrust yourself to them, so that you can call one another towards Christ, to encourage each other and to challenge each other, to eat together, to confess, to share testimony. Like, all of these are life-on-life practices that require other people. And you know what? Some of you are stalled out because you've cut yourself off from others. 2025 needs to be the year where you make room for other people to join you and you join other people. And I'll say this, it's not up to Hope Church to make that happen. But you're also in a room full of people who, at the core of them, long for the same thing, which is to be more like Christ. So take advantage of the relationships you already have because God's put them there on purpose. What would it look like for you to intentionally run towards Jesus with other people this year? Maybe the area that you noticed was the outward one. You're like, hey, I've got people around me. I feel like me and Jesus are good, but I feel like I'm not like really doing what God wants me to do with my life. I'm not living on purpose where I live and work and learn and play. That's the place I want to grow this year. And I want to challenge you, working out your salvation means being intentionally present in your world. Like, there is no substitute for showing up in the gospel. When Jesus sits with his disciples after the resurrection, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Which means like mission in your life is shaped like Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus does to be on mission is he shows up. I mean, it's Christmas time. This is what we celebrate, a God who shows up where we are, who enters into our mess and into our struggle and into the darkness and brings light with him. This is the first move of mission for everyone. And God has placed you where you live, in your family, among your friends, in your neighborhood, where you work, where you're learning. If you're in school in any type of way, like wherever you spend your time, you need to start with the assumption that God in his sovereignty has put you there on purpose. And it is up to you to discover where's God at work here and how can I join him. But you're not gonna be able to do that if you don't build your life for more margin and space to be with the people that God's put around you. God has put you around people that he wants to see his light and glory. Remember the "This Little Light of Mine" song? That verse, "Hide it under a bushel." Well, the idea is you can be light and just hide it. When we refuse to be present with the world around us, this is what we do. We are light, too, you are, but we hide it. You come hang out with us after the work? No, I can't do that. Sometimes we'll do it in the name of Jesus. I can't go to that place, can't be around those people. But you're light. God's made you light. And I'm not encouraging you to go into situations where you feel like you're not strong enough. But at the same point, you can't forsake all of the ways that God has already set you up to be who you are for the sake of the people around you. And one of the things some of you are gonna need to do to grow in this area is you're gonna actually have to build your life to be more available to the world around you. One of my professors used to always tell me, he says, as a pastor, if someone calls you and asks you to do something in your community, say yes, unless God tells you directly, say no. Why? Because if the town asks you into a space, no one invites a church into their space unless God's ahead of that. You need to assume the same thing about the people around you. Hey, can we grab coffee? Yes. Can we go to lunch? Yes. Hey, do you have any time? Yes. I have time. I make time because I'm on mission. The mission starts with showing up, and I have to show up. And some of you even have to be bold enough to say, I'm going to start creating space. I'm not going to wait for someone to ask me to coffee. I'm going to ask them to coffee. Even if it's just like, tell me what's going on with you. Tell me what's happening in your life. You need to get curious enough about your world where you can discover where God's at work, because he is at work. And if you want to grow in this area, but you won't show up, you won't grow. Because all of the opportunity is ahead of you where God is ahead of you. And you have to make room to join in with that. I'm gonna spoil Jeff's sermon for the next, I don't know, year, I guess, sounds like. 2024, he said hopes, the word that was the Lord was speaking to Hope Church in 2024 was trust. And he says in 2025, he feels like that word is remain. Remain. I love that word. Like, I've built a church in Ohio around a passage that uses this as his bread and butter. In John 15, it's the place where Jesus describes what this relationship that he wants to have with his disciples will look like. He says it like this. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The one that remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. This is Jesus's way of saying what Paul was telling the church in Philippians 2, where he says, to work out your salvation, he says, for it is God who's working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. This is a beautiful thing. That idea of remaining it's about a dwelling, consistent, intentional, ongoing connection between God and his people. And the beautiful thing about that word is the primary remainer is not us, but is Jesus. Matter of fact, even before he teaches his disciples about this, he says he's gonna give us his spirit who will remain with us, who will dwell with us, who will stay with us. And as we talk about this, and even as we talk about, like, there should be a certain level of despair that dwells up in us, that rises up when we talk about growth, because we're talking about a hard thing. We're talking about change. We're talking about literally making room to become something we're not. And this is where Paul says, you need to work out your salvation because Christ is in you working that out for his, like, he is in you to help you desire and work out his good purposes. The good news is not that you need to grow. The good news is that God is in you to cause growth if you will welcome it. The challenge is to be intentional in making room for Jesus to do what only he can in you. And so look, when you look at that triangle piece, you're thinking about that idea of saying, like, one of the things you need to recognize is the key to growth in every area of your life is Jesus. And you have Jesus. And if you don't, you can have him today. Because he's freely offering himself to everyone who would believe in this place. But you have to start with this idea of saying, God has given me himself so that the growth I long for can happen. Matter of fact, here's just something cool. God wants you to grow more than you do. God believes that something's possible in your life that you might not even see as plausible. He says, I can do it. Let's work this thing out. My friend Dave was telling me a story. A buddy of his decided that he was going to train for a marathon, trained for months, was ready to do it. All of his buddies, all their friends were excited. So they got all of these, they dressed up in all this crazy stuff. They got one of those big like fat heads of this dude's face. They're like, we're going to go down to the finish line. We're going to be there to cheer you on when you cross this amazing monumental thing that you're doing. So the guy goes and runs and they go down to the finish line. But the finish line, there's thousands of people. They had not done marathon culture before, and they were just like, holy cow, we can't get anywhere near the finish line. And they're walking down the race path, trying to find a way to get to the front so they can celebrate their friend, and they go a mile before they can get in. So they get their whole crew, and they're there, and they see their buddy come over the hill. And he says their buddy said he could see them, because they could see the big head, they could see all the stuff. And he saw them, and he thinks, finish line's right there. So he puts on the gas, right? He's pouring it. He's just like, I'm going to just bust through this thing. And he's running. And then he gets to them and he realizes the race isn't over. But he's got nothing left. And so he literally was like, and they're like, keep going. He's like, you said you were at the finish line. And he said he just got to the point where he just stopped. He just walked the last mile. He's like, I don't have anything left. There's a lesson in this. And sometimes it's just really simple. Where you put the finish line in your life is where you're going to run to. Where you put the finish line is where you're going to run to. And like, I grew up in a church. It was a good church. It was a well-meaning church. But lots of times when we were to think, what's the spiritual finish line in our church? It was someone gives their life to Christ, or they get baptized, or they show up on Sundays, or they give a certain amount. And again, I'm definitely not against any of those things. But when you put the finish line at a certain place in your life, that's what you're going to run to, and that's where you're going to stop. I'm done. I want to challenge you to move the finish line in your spiritual life in 2025. And this isn't to say you haven't run far. Like, I know some of you in this room. You're not a one or two, but you're not done. Right. And when we approach our spiritual life like we're done, we actually cut off the work of salvation that Christ wants to continue in us. I'm gonna ask our band to come up. We're just gonna move to a time of reflection and response. But I want you to think, and we're gonna put this triangle back up, and again, part of the reason I use visuals is you can take this home, you can keep thinking about it. So this conversation probably isn't done. But I want to ask you, as we make some space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, is first, I want to ask you, like, what has God done in you? Like, what can you celebrate where you're just like, not a zero, because God's done this. Maybe 2024 was not the growth year you wanted, and that's okay. Maybe you're like, I've made some of the biggest mistakes of my life this year. I have a God who's full of grace. He'll take you wherever you are, but he won't leave you there. Right. I want to ask you, where do you see yourself? And is there one of these areas where you're like, Lord, Where do I need to start? What do you feel like the Holy Spirit's highlighting for you? Because that's the place where you need to move from a hope to a plan in the days forward. And this isn't about it turning into January. It's really about today's the day of salvation. Amen. What better day to say, let's make another step, Lord, than this one? Amen. So I'm going to pray, and we're just going to open up a time of response. And this is a time where we also are offering communion today. Communion is that place where we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, his broken body and his shed blood, and that it provides everything we need for the journey. He connects it to a meal because you have to eat to keep going. Everything that you need, Jesus is giving it to you because he's giving you himself. So if you come and you receive communion this morning, I want you to come in faith saying, God, I'll receive everything I need from you to run the race ahead of me. Just make that next step clear and let's go. Let's work this thing out. So we're going to pray, and then we will have a time of response, and I'll invite you to the Lord's table, and if you need prayer in any way, but just to worship and to think and wrestle and say, God, what's next? Jesus, we thank you that you are the God who meets us where we are and doesn't leave us there. I mean, even in this season, that you step out of heaven into earth, you step into our lives, and you meet us. And whether we assess ourselves as doing amazing or doing horrible or whatever, that's never stopped you from meeting us where we are and saying, let's go. Take up the cross, follow me. So Lord, I want to pray right now first. I just pray that you just highlight some of the places in the lives of the people here where you have been at work. That they're not starting out of nothing because you are the God who's already been at work in their lives. Give them a place to rejoice, to be thankful. Even if it's as bare bones as saying, God, I don't know what else to be thankful for, but I look at the cross and I know you love me and you gave yourself for me and that is enough. Lord, that there would be a joy in the fact that you have begun a good work in every person here. But Lord, I also pray that you would highlight for them the place you want to keep going. And there may be 30 places, but I pray you just give them one clear one. Where it's like, this is the next step. This is the next thing. Holy Spirit, just illuminate their hearts, open their eyes, their ears. And Jesus, I pray as we come to your table that you would help us to remember the good news. That while there's stuff for me to do, the big work is yours because you are working out in us the things you're calling us. So you are the one who's provided everything we need for the journey, for these next steps. You fuel it, you empower it, you make a way, and you cause the growth. Let this be a year where we cling to and remain in you and allow and build our lives for just an intentional change to keep going, because you're not done, Lord, in us and in our world. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So we invite you to stand. If you are coming to take communion, the tables are open. We invite you to come and receive and let us worship and reflect together.